Last time we studied about Gideon's prayer. Today we are going to study about Samson prayed. Okay, we are going to go to the book of Judges, chapter 13, Judges chapter 13, verses 1 to 7.
And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.
The angel was talking to Samson's mother. And when she saw the angel, she thought he is an angel. She had no courage to ask him, and he didn't tell his name. So she comes and tells her husband. And then husband wanted to see that angel again, so husband prayed. Let's read verse 8.
Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born.
Now here is a lesson for us. This lady is barren. She saw a man. She didn't know that was an angel, but she said from his clothes and for his appearance, I think he was an angel. I think he's a man of God. And gave me the message, I'm going to have a child. You should not be eating or drinking anything out of grapes or any. This man did not fight with her. He did not argue with her. He did not say, why don't you say to the man, hold on here, I'll go and get my husband, and then you talk. Why did you talk to him? He didn't say anything. He just trusted in the Lord that it might be the angel of the Lord. So he prayed to God. Read the verse 9.
And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman, as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her.
Now here, the word of God says, her husband prayed, God answered his prayer, and again when this lady was in the field, the angel comes to her. This man has to be a godly man. Instead of fighting with his wife, he prayed to God. He said, Lord, if that was the angel, talk to my wife. I want that angel come back. And exactly happened, the angel came back. And she came to husband and told him, the man is there. And he goes, and then they talk to the angel.
And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband. And said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife, and came to the man, and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee.
Husband and wife came, and the man asking him the question, he just wanted to make sure, is this is the man she saw or somebody else? So he repeated everything what he said to the wife, and then he knew this, he's the same man. And then he asked the man, actually is the angel, they didn't know yet. He said, wait here, we are going to go and cook food for you. Let's read that so you will know.
Then the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread, and if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. But Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord.
Here we see that man they saw that was not ordinary man. They found out his name is almost like a wonder worker or wondrous or wonderful. Most of the time people are saying, when you say angel of the Lord, they think that was Jesus taking the form of angels. We just believed it was an angel of the Lord came and gave the message, and according to the message the child was born. Let's read the verse 25.
And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol.
Now you can see the child was born and the Spirit of the Lord start moving in his life. When he was young, they can see the Spirit of God was moving in his life. Samson, when he started growing, I think from, if you read the whole story about Samson and his mother and father, they, I think, spoiled the child. Whatever he wanted, they gave it to him. He said, I want to marry heathen girl. Okay, go ahead and marry. And that's what he was spoiled. And he took advantage of mother and father and did everything according to his will. And so then we know that marriage didn't work, and then he started dealing with a prostitute. And so we are not going to waste time on his story, but let's go to the Judges chapter 16. Now we are seeing when, but this time he told her the truth, and see what happens. Verse 19.
And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep, and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shave myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him.
He was dealing with a prostitute. He knew that she was going after him, and he lied to her so many times. This time he told the truth, and he did not even know that she cut his hair. And then when he got up, he said, I'm going to go and do the same thing I used to do before. But the word of God says, already Lord departed from him, means Lord left him. It's a sad story. But you cannot play game with God. He played so many games. You can fool, there is a saying, you can fool person one time, you can fool twice, you cannot fool anybody all the time. So now Lord left him, he's helpless, enemy comes, and see what they do. Read the following.
But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house.
Now see, this man was a handsome man, beautiful eyes, and because of his eyes, the one reason he got into this trouble. Everything what he sees, he wants it. He saw the beautiful girl and he said to his mother and father, I want to marry this girl. They said, no, she is heathen. He said, no, I want to marry her. And then marriage didn't work, so now he wants to go to this prostitute. And so his eyes was making him slave. So these people saw, even though they took his hair, they know now he has no strength, but they didn't want him to do any mischiefs, so made him a blind. They put him in a prison, and the prison, they put him in the, you know, there is a grinding mill, and they used to use the bulls to do this, but now they are using him because they thought he has a lot of strength, now let him do it. And he was doing this kind of job. And you can see, I don't know how long it took, but his hair started growing, so he started thinking, maybe one of these days I'm going to take revenge. Let's read following verses.
Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands.
This is a big temple of Dagon. And now they gather together in that temple there, and they are thinking, our God gave Samson in our hand. They might be thinking, if their God was so powerful, why that God allow us to capture one of his servant? But see, we see in the Bible, and we have seen from the beginning, each time the child of God or the servant of God or the Israeli people start doing anything wrong, God left them in the enemy's hand. And this is what happened to Samson. He was a man of God, and his mother was barren. This was a child of prayer, and God used him mightily, but now he's in prison, and his enemy having a good time. They're having party, and now they said, let's bring the Samson, and we'll ask him to make some jokes, and we can laugh. And that's what they were trying. Let's read verse 24.
And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars.
Now see, they start thinking, our God delivered Samson in our hands. Now we'll call him and let him make some jokes or do some games for us or something, and let's we laugh and have a good time.
And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them.
Now this is a young child. Young lad means he's teenager. He doesn't know why this Samson is asking him, where the whole temple is supported by two pillars. So he said, take me there, and I want to lean there and stand there. So that's what he was there. And so all these people foolishly, didn't know the idea what Samson had in his mind to destroy these people. That boy might have said, this is the pillar. And so he said, okay. And so he stood in the midst of the pillar and maybe joking. And meantime, he's trying to find out if he has the strength to destroy these people. Please read.
Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport.
Now you can see the man, the woman, and some of the people on the top of the roof or maybe balcony, and many people gathered together to see him. He says 3,000 people were in the balcony, and I don't know how many people were inside. So we can see so many people gathered together in one time. Let's read a little bit further.
And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes.
Samson forgot about his hair. He's worried about his eyes because they took his eyes, and that bothered him more than he lost his strength. He says, Lord, one time, hear my prayer. This is the last time I'm asking you. And so, let's read a little bit further.
And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life.
If you would have asked God, God, give me my eyesight back, God would have given to him. If he would have said, give me grace, I'm going to kill these people and rescue me from this, God would have done it. But he was frustrated of life. He didn't want to work anymore. He didn't want to do anything. This was his, you know, wish to kill as many as people he can. And he killed so many people before. He took one time, took the jawbone and killed hundreds of people. So he killed so many people. But now he says, in his lifetime, how many people he killed? He killed more than that in one time. And so that's what God used him to kill Philistines. They were enemy to God. And so God raised Samson to destroy the Philistines, because the angel came, and if you remember, angel said that Samson is going to deliver you people from the Philistines' hand. He was not even born. That's what he did. And God heard his father's prayer, and God heard his prayer. So what we're learning, sometimes we don't know what we are praying. So before we pray, we have to think exactly what you want to pray. When you pray in the will of God, God will answer your prayers. Our God is a prayer answering God, but at the same time, we have to use the wisdom of God, what we're praying. Sometimes people ask God, and they say, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I will go. And when God tells him, go to Africa, or go here, or go there, oh no, Lord, I'm not going to go there. Send me to Florida, or send me to Hawaii, or send me some other place. So that's why, you know, when we ask God, whatever we ask, that's what God is going to give. This man, heartily, he said, I want to die. I don't want my eyes. I don't want my length of my life. I want to kill these people, and I want to die. And that's what happened. But point I'm making, Samson's father prayed, God answered. Samson prayed, God answered. Now we're going to see another person. Go to the 1 Samuel chapter 1, and start reading from verse 8.
Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore.
Now everybody is having good time, including her husband. This lady didn't drink anything. She didn't eat anything. She is fasting and praying. And she is not ordinarily way praying. She is like crying bitterly. She doesn't have children. So she comes here weeping in the sight of God. Let's read further.
And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but wilt give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head.
Just like Samson, she is making the promise to God, if you give me a son, I will give back to you as long as he lives. That is the prayer. There was a lady came to our church. She went to the doctor. Doctor told her, you cannot have children. They tested her husband. He cannot have children. So now there is no reason to divorce each other because both of them could not have children. So they called us. I told my wife to lay hand on her stomach, and I put my hand on my wife's hand, and we prayed. Your son you should dedicate to the Lord, and she did. Today her son is like a missionary going to different parts of the world. So she has a boy and a girl now. This Hannah was barren, so this lady was praying and crying and weeping and promising God, if you give me child, I will give it back to you. Please read further.
And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him.
Now here, this lady is praying, she's heartbroken. The man of God, prophet, he also didn't understand, and he start accusing her. I'm not drunk. I'm a heartbroken woman. I'm praying to God, and I'm asking God my petition. So he didn't ask her, what do you want from the Lord? He simply said, whatever you're asking, God is going to give it to you. And this lady did not argue with him, did not say, you blame me, or you accused me, or anything. She gave the respect to the man of God, his word. He says, whatever you petition, you did it to the Lord. Whatever you ask, God is going to give it to you. And she believed it. That's the way it works. The other day, one lady called me. She said, pray for me, for my kidneys. I said, God can give you kidneys. She said, I'm saving the money and I want to do the kidney transplant. $14,000 I have already. I'm waiting for the right match. So I said, shall I pray for the right match so you can have the kidney? She didn't know what to do. So I said, think about it. If you want the match for the kidneys, I'm going to pray exactly, Lord, give her the match so she can have a kidney surgery, and let her prayer be answered. Otherwise, I said, I can just pray something like this. Lord, give her brand new kidneys so she doesn't have to spend that $14,000. She can, oh, pray that way. So I prayed. Week later also, a lady called. We asked, what happened? She said, I went to the doctor and they checked me. They said, you don't need a kidney transplant because you have already two brand new kidneys. The point I'm making, when you pray, you have to believe what you're praying it, and then you will receive it. Whatever we pray, exactly what you pray, exactly you will receive it, but you have to have faith what you pray. But she already got the answer in her heart. When the man of God says, okay, whatever your request is, you're going to get it. Go in peace. And so she believed, and whatever she believed, she received. Read from verse 25.
And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there.
Now see, the Hannah was a faithful woman. She could have said, but prophet doesn't know what I prayed, right? I got a son. I'm not going to take my son and give it back to the prophet. But faithfully she came with the sacrifice. She got the bull to sacrifice. And not only that, she said, this is what the child I was praying for. And God gave me this child. And I prayed to God that give it back to God. So I'm giving back to the Lord, and he's going to worship the Lord as long as he lives. I'm not going to take him back. The child was maybe like 4 or 5 years old. She used to go every year, but this time she stayed until the child was weaned from the drinking her milk. And once child was able to talk and listen to mommy, she told the maybe child, I dedicate it to you, and you're going to go to the house of God, and you're going to stay there, and you're going to worship the Lord. And the child was happy and joyful. And when she left the child, it doesn't say the child started crying or say, mommy, take me home. I don't want to stay here. He was happy. This child was trained at home. When you have a child, a baby, even the 6 month or 1 year old, start talking to that child about God. Start praying, start singing, training that child. If the child is 4 or 5 years old, ready to go to school, that child will know how to behave. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 21.
And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord.
Can you imagine? This lady asked God one child. If you give me a child, I'll give it back to you. She never said, Lord, I give my child. Can you give me more children? She never asked. If I give my Samuel to you, will you give me another Samuel? Will you give me another child? She didn't ask. She was satisfied with one child. But God gave her 3 sons and 2 daughters. That's what it is. When you're giving to God, God gives you back. You sow money, you get money. She sowed the child, she got children. So whatever you give to the Lord, God gives back to you. And so we see here how God blessed her 3 sons and 2 daughters. So what we're learning? Our God is a prayer answering God. She cried with the tears. Nobody knew. Her husband could not understand her. The priest could not understand her. But God knew her heart. And God gave her the desires of her heart. And so sometimes things look impossible. This is not like a 1 day or 2 days. We don't know how many years she was barren. She could see the history. Sarah was barren. Isaac's wife, Rebecca, was barren. But they got children. So she's believing, if they got a children, I can have the children. So she prayed to God, and God answered her prayer. You remember that one African man, he was dead and put in the morgue. But the lady was reading the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And in that chapter, it says, the ladies got their dead back to life. So she read it. She said, okay, if the ladies got their man back to life, then my husband is dead. So these words will come true. This happened before, he's talking. They were talking about how this Elijah prayed and the lady's son came to life. Elisha prayed and one lady's son came to life. That's what the story is talking about there. But the name was not given. So she believed if those women got their dead people back, why cannot God give my husband back? And that's what she prayed. And we heard her testimony. She said, this is what I believe. God can bring my husband back. Nobody believed. Relative didn't believe. Pastor didn't believe. Church member didn't believe. But she believed. And she received it. That's the way prayer works. Sometimes your sickness, your disease, the doctor tells you this is some kind of disease, a rare disease, incurable disease. There is no answer. We never saw anybody get healed this kind of sickness. At that time, that person's supposed to say, God is the one life giver. He is the in charge of our life. This lady just trusted in the Lord that God can give me a child no matter what, but she prayed with a broken heart. Not like, Lord, I don't know you're going to give it to me or not, but I'm going to pray anyhow. Doesn't work that way. You have to say, I believe it, and I'm going to receive it, I'm going to get it. And God already gave me the answer, and start praising God and be happy. That's the way the answer comes. God is teaching us why I'm making this series. If somebody's sick, somebody has a financial problem, somebody has a marriage problem, somebody has some problem that other people never had it. So when we studying this, how the other people prayed and God heard their prayer, our God is the same. Book of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you read this scripture, what it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. I don't think that's the way grammar works. When you say Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, was same. So he says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. That means our God is not was, but our God is all the time. That's what he says to Moses, I am that I am that's sending you. I'm going to be with you. God went with Moses to Egypt. And so when Moses said, Lord, if you're not going with me, then I don't want to lead these people, kill me. So the God already said in the beginning, I am that I am. So our God is not our God was, our God is. God is already there. Only thing we have to trust in Him and believe in Him and believe that God can do anything. Other days, somebody asked the question, and many people ask the same question, who created God? Somebody thinks it's so difficult to answer. It's not that difficult to answer, who created God? Simply you said to that person, if I tell you who created that God, then you're going to ask me who created that God, and that God, and that God, and there will be no end. So the God, nobody created. He's self-existed God. That's why we call Him God. If somebody created Him, then He's not God. Then somebody is God. And then you say, who created Him? Then you keep on going back. So then final answer is, God is the one who creates everything. Nobody creates Him. We cannot explain the God's handiwork. Other day we were sitting there and watching how God created the cells in the body, and one cell, there are billion, trillion cells in one cell inside the cell. And when you're watching like a factory in your one cell, and they made that cell like a 50,000 times big, and then looking at, and that in that cell, just like a factory going on. And when people and scientists start looking at that, they start thinking, oh, there is a God. Because without God, no one can make this kind of machines and engines inside your body. But now they say there are billions and trillions like our Earth and our sun, but there is only one Earth, have people and oxygen. So you can see when God created all of these things, people don't know who God is. Our God is a great God. See, we saw that Dagon, God's temple, those people are worshiping and they start thinking, you know, Samson's God is nothing. So our God gave us grace to capture Samson. And so let's make fun of Samson. But they didn't know Samson's God was the greatest God than their Dagon God. And that's why they got killed. The point I'm making here, we are studying the prayers of the people in the Old Testament. In the beginning, we learned that when the sickness and disease came, then we learned how God treats His children and unsaved people. When children of God does something wrong, they get into problem, sickness, disease, slavery, or things like that. And our God is a prayer answering God. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to You. You are a great God. You are a miracle working God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. But Your word says You are a creator of faith. You are an author of faith. So give us grace to trust in Jesus Christ. When we pray, we believe that our God is a prayer answering God. And Your word says, when you ask something, you believe it, that you already received it, and you will have it. Give that kind of faith. We commit ourselves into Your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.